Earlier back in the spring, one of our school masses, I asked our school kids what they would do if they had a time machine. And if you ever get a chance to ask kids what they would do with a time machine, it's well worth your time. There's some really good answers. And I was pleased. We have some very, very pious kids here. And so a lot of them wanted to go back and meet Jesus or meet one of their favorite saints or prevent Abraham Lincoln's assassination or yada yada, right? So, and that's true. I would love that opportunity. But I've also seen Back to the Future too. And so I know what you can do with a sports almanac, you know? Like, you have guaranteed money, right? You go back and you have that, you know what's coming, you know what's in the future, you have the time machine, and so bada bing, bada boom, you invest in a little Bitcoin, you invest in this Super Bowl here or there, and you're set. Well, that would be great. That's not the way it works, is it? There's no time machines. We don't have that, the crystal ball, the guaranteed future of this is exactly what's going to happen here and there. What do we have instead? Faith. We don't have that laid out in front of us. We don't have the, and that's where, you know, if you could bet on us, you know, it's a sure thing that this team's going to win here, or that's going to happen there. Like, yeah, you can bank on that. But we are very, very, very seldom offered that kind of assurance in our day-to-day life, in our day-to-day walk with the Lord. Again, that's where faith comes in. So in our second reading today, St. Paul, in the letter to the Hebrews, gives us a definition of faith. And this is the definition he gives us. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. That is faith. It's not the guarantee. If you have faith, or if you have hope for a kid for a present at Christmas to get a new bike or get a new Xbox or whatever, I hope I get the Xbox at Christmas. If Christmas comes along and they get that gift, that toy, they don't need faith or hope anymore because they now have the realization. They have the fullness of that. That's, by the way, that's why faith, hope, and love, St. Paul says, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, because faith and hope pass away when we get to heaven. We don't need faith and hope in heaven because we've achieved and attained the fullness of what we had hoped for, or what our faith had, where we had put our faith. So it's evidence of things that are not seen. Now, here's the deal. Working with high school kids, or even just kind of people in general, where we are in 2025, when people say, psh, nah, faith, church, God, psh, I don't believe in that stuff. I believe in science. I believe in truth. I believe in what I can scientifically test and observe, and that's where I put my trust. I don't need that faith stuff. Oh, really? I would argue that it takes at least as much faith to believe that something comes from nothing as it does the faith to believe that something comes from a creator. That order can come from chaos, where we don't see it in any other observable option in the universe, but somehow that's where I can put my trust. I would argue that there's at least as much faith within atheism as there is within theism and believing in the Lord. It's just a different kind of faith. That guarantee, very, very few things do we have absolute, absolute guarantee and certainty. We don't have a guarantee that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. The reason why we can believe and trust that it will rise tomorrow is because it has risen for the last however many millennia or whatever, that it has risen day after day after day, but that's not a guarantee that it's going to do that tomorrow. There's no guarantee that oxygen just in this moment isn't going to turn to nitrogen and we will all suffocate. We don't have that guarantee, but there's a certain degree of trust and a certain degree of faith from continued observations that's just not the way it has happened before. So there's faith. Whether you like it or not, you have to live faith one way or another, one increment or another, in different aspects of our lives. But the difference is, for us as Christians, the way we live faith, and the example that even that St. Paul gives us in our second reading, to lift up Abraham, our father in faith. This is what St. Paul says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. And I think that's one of the fallacies we have looking back in the rearview mirror at these saints, looking back in the rearview mirror at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all. They didn't know. It's easy for us from our vantage point of history to look back and say, oh, it must have been easy for Mother Teresa of Calcutta just to know that, like, she was going to walk in there and just everyone would flock to her, and that she was. No, she did not know that. All the saints, they take a step out where they don't see what's going on. But what we do have is a couple verses later. By faith, he received the power to generate, even though he was past the normal age and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. Faith is not blind. And our faith, what we believe and what we practice, it's not superstition. It's not throwing a penny into a wishing well or rubbing a rabbit's foot and hoping that something happens. Our faith is reasonable. It is logical and it is reasonable. We have reason why we believe what we believe. We're not just crazy random people, that there is a logical underpinning. That's what philosophy is all about. Faith seeking reason, reason seeking faith, and faith seeking reason, the interplay between the two. But our knowledge and our guarantee parameters of philosophy gets us so far, we can logically come to the conclusion that it is logical to believe that there is a creator. We can logically come to the conclusion that what we see isn't just happenstance, but there comes a certain point where logic leaves off, and that gap that's not 100,000% assurity, that gap is called faith. And so for Abraham, where he believed that the one who made the promise was trustworthy, what Abraham had was a series of observations. I believe God was correct here. He led me here. He took care of me here. He took care of me here. He took care of me here. I can trust that his word is true and that he will raise my son from the dead if I offer him in sacrifice. Faith, the best kind of story or example I heard for faith was, I heard a dad talking about one time he was building steps going down into his basement, and it was an outdoor, the door to the basement was outside. So it was a bright, sunny day outside, but then down in the basement, it was completely dark. The light had gone out. Completely dark in the basement, and the steps were missing. The staircase was gone completely. And so the sun was up there in the daylight, and he looked down into the basement, can't see anything. It's completely dark. But he hears his father's voice. Hey, jump. I will catch you. And what's the son say? Well, I can't see down there. That looks pretty scary. I hear your voice, and I assume you're down there, but I can't see it. Faith is, do I trust my father enough to jump? If I hear his voice, I hear him calling me, do I trust enough to make that gap where it's not, there's not the guarantee, it's not the assurance, it's not the security of I'm in charge of everything. It's the leap. That, brothers and sisters, is what we are called to literally every single day. And if you can't think of any examples where you have made that leap, even in the recent past, then there's a good chance you are still waiting outside and are not pursuing the Lord's, what he has called you. Imagine, and I don't know, you can't play the what-if scenario, but what if John Adams and Abraham and George Washington had said, you know what, I don't know, we're risking a lot with this whole new country thing. England's not that bad. The taxes kind of stink, but you know, we'll make do. What if they had just said, nah, it's not worth the risk? They had no clue. They didn't have a crystal ball that things would work out. They were risking their entire life, their family, their livelihood. They were risking being hung, but they believed that there was something that they were called to. That leap. You will not find a saint who has not made that leap over and over and over again. And the truth is, the more you do it, the easier it is to do. And that can look in all kinds of ways, whether or not that's you know, changing jobs or moving states, or whether or not that's openness to life when you're like, man, I don't know if we can do this with another kid. The Lord gives us opportunities to trust him.